It's 24 minutes to 7 on RN Breakfast. First, though, let's return to Australia's disappointment in Zurich, losing out to Qatar for the right to host the Football World Cup in 2022. Qatar is the smallest and the hottest nation to ever win the World Cup. Russia was the other winner overnight, securing the right to host the 2018 event. The Australian Football Federation now says we can't hope to host a World Cup until at least 2030. Speaking to us from Zurich earlier this morning, the Federal Sports Minister Mark Abib said the official Australian delegation is shattered by the news. Former Socceroo and now Fox Sports commentator Andy Harper is also in Zurich. Andy, thanks so much for joining us.
G'day, Fran. I wish it was happy to circumstances.
Yeah, not such a happy moment for Australian football, is it? What's your reaction to Qatar winning?
I was flabbergasted in the manner in which they won. And look, overridingly, Fran, it was the word about Qatar's success came out an hour and a half before Sepp Blatter broke the seal on the envelope. I almost didn't want to go into the hall because we'd heard the news. We all knew. The next thing that came through before any formal part of the evening was that Russia had won also. We'd also heard before anyone walked in the hall that Australia and England had both been knocked out in the first round. This is a call from informal, unofficial sources. So the FIFA's attempt or desire to have it, you know, firstly the secret ballot, I don't know how secret it was, and then to have the result under lock and key with auditors guarding the secret envelopes has turned out to be a farce.
Yeah.
So that was the first reaction, really, really disappointed, and now we have to look about the issues of where the game goes from here, because this was a massive opportunity for the sport in Australia and also for Australia to showcase itself. That's disappeared in the medium term now.
How much of a blow is this for the game in Australia, Andy? Because since the revamp of the game, we've got to successive World Cups, we've had the A-League up and running, the game's had a real buzz about it. But lately, the A-League stalled a bit, crowd numbers are down. Yeah. Is this a body blow?
Well, there's no doubt it's a body blow, but there can be, from this point on, there can be no accusation that FFA are sidetracked by a World Cup bid. If there's any legs in that comment, in that commentary that FFA have put all their eggs in the World Cup basket and probably to the detriment of something like the A-League, well, from this point on, that can't be the case. So whatever focus wasn't on the A-League will go back to the A-League. It remains the potential jewel in our crown. It remains the bread and butter, the shop window. All those clichés remain true about the A-League. And I want to say this quite unequivocally. The huge success that a World Cup hosting would have brought to Australia and to football isn't matched by the huge downturn in football because we haven't got the World Cup. The upside was massive. The downside is of not the same proportions. It's a huge disappointment, and we don't get the turbochargers, Frank Lowy referred to it, that we were so looking forward to. But this is a resilient sport, and fans of the football in Australia are very resilient. The game for a number of decades had to survive on its wits and not a lot else. There's never been a lot of love coming towards football until recently, and we're in a much better state now than we've been in the past when we've had to regroup and soldier on.
And Andy,
that's the positive side of this.
And Andy, not a whole lot of love coming from the rest of the world. One vote we know of. We got one vote in the first round. Does the rest of the football world see Australia as a backwater? Is there a perception problem that might take us a long time to overcome?
No, let's get this very clear, Fran. The vote on the FIFA executive is not a global reflection of Australia's standing by any stretch of the imagination. I can't even come close to expressing to you, describing to you the levels of incredulity at this result. Not so much that Australia only got one vote. I feel really sorry for the big team, which I maintain did a great job. That's not what they are expecting. They're absolutely flummoxed by that. That's a real kick in the pants because they don't deserve it. And they were eyeballed by members of the Exco promising votes and they just didn't deliver. Well, that happens in this game. You know, you can't cry about that. But this is a reflection of the way 22 men thought. This is not a reflection of the way the world views Australia, because everywhere I've moved in Zurich in the last few days, people were really upbeat about Australia's chances and about what it would do for football to come to the South Pacific and celebrate the World Cup. A very popular choice. In the rank and file, if I can put it that way, the punters who walk the pavement and follow and write about and support and love football, Australia had won them over. It was a natural choice for a lot of people. It's just that for whatever political machinations, and there's all sorts of suggestions, speculation and recrimination being discussed now, The 22 members of the FIFA executive saw fit to go in a completely other direction. And, you know, to be not, let me put it this way, put some perspective. For Qatar were a whisker away from cleaning this up in the first round of voting. No one saw that coming. I mean, 11, by definition, they had 11 votes in the first round of voting. That means, by definition, 11 members of the FIFA Executive Committee either didn't read or didn't see any sufficient danger in the technical report that was provided, which said there are serious concerns about Qatar's hosting. For them to go within a whisker of winning this in the first round is remarkable, remarkable. And there's a lot of people's heads are spinning in Zurich, not just Australians, I'm telling you.
There's a suggestion that the FIFA executive, the judges, were really persuaded by the pitch that not only was Qatar going to build all these stadiums, then deconstruct them and spread them around the developing world, they also saw a Qatar World Cup as a boost for the Middle East peace process. But in football terms, what sort of World Cup can we expect in 2022? It'll be very hot. The stadiums will be air-conditioned. I mean, as a former player, what do you think about that?
Yeah, look, I think for a player, the World Cup is fine in Qatar because, you know, they're pumping a lot of money. They're talking about a $50 billion investment into this air-conditioning system. Well, for a player, it's going to be fine, Fran, because they'll go from five-star hotel luxury to air-conditioned training grounds to air-conditioned stadiums. And they'll work around that transport route until they're eliminated from the World Cup. They'll have no problems with the heat. But players, as significant as they are not the entire picture of a World Cup. There's the fan element as well. And what people are expecting fans to do in Qatar, outside of being air-conditioned in the stadium, in 50 degrees centigrade, and I'm not exaggerating, Fran, we go there for World Cup qualifiers watching the Socceroos and Asian Cup matches. It's inhumanely hot. You cannot move. If they're dry countries because they're Muslim societies, fair enough. What do they expect people are going to do? The players will be fine. The football side will be great. I'm yet to be convinced how the fans are responding.
Okay. All right, Andy, look, thank you so much for your time.
Pleasure, Fran. All the best, yeah.
And your disappointment is palpable. That's Andy Harper, former Socceroo and Fox Sports commentator, joining us from Zurich. It's 17 to 7.